Leviticus 24.
Command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause a lamp to burn continually. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting shall Aaron keep it in order from evening to morning before Yahweh continually. He shall keep in order the lamps on the pure gold lampstand continually. So the lampstand is used in the book of Revelation to represent the churches. And so the oil that was to continually burn in them was a symbol of the Spirit. And so that's how it's used in one of the visions in Zechariah. The idea is that we as the church, and the church is people, not a building, that we as individuals should be burning all the time. Now that's a basic principle. It's good to be part of a church, part of a religious group, and to, you know, go out to the meetings, be involved, and so on. The problem is that you can possibly get the impression that you only serve God when you are there at the meetings in the church. The idea is the same as with the continual burnt offerings, morning and evening, that we are to be burning the Spirit constantly, that this is to be a way of life and not an occasional hobby. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes of it. Set them in two rows, six on a row, on the pure gold table before Yahweh. Put frankincense on each row, that it may make the bread to be for a memorial. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually. It is on the behalf of the children of Israel an everlasting covenant. So this was the showbread. And there were 12 cakes of it, 12 loaves, to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, it's the same message as the candlestick, which was like the churches, the believers, burning constantly. This showbread was continually in the presence of God. And showbread can also mean the bread of the presence, because it was in God's presence. And the idea was that the 12 loaves were like the 12 tribes. They were continually in God's presence. And there again is a principle that we are continually in his presence. It is not simply when you go to meeting, when you are engaged in church activities, but we are continually in his presence. And if you can sense that, this will radically affect how you live. Well, there is no possibility then of secret sins or having secret passions in your life or secret stuff you do or stuff you simply wouldn't do at church, because you are continually in God's presence. There was the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian, and he went out among the children of Israel. And the son of the Israelite woman and a man of Israel fought together in the camp. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name. Well, his father was an Egyptian. So I guess he was a follower of the Egyptian gods, and he resented the idea of Yahweh. His mother's name was Shelomith. They put him in custody until the will of Yahweh about this should be declared to them. Well, I bet they were all tempted to say, oh, he should this or he should that. Some said, ah, let him off. He was just set in hot blood. And someone else said, no, he took God's name in vain. He's got to be killed. It's not what we think. It's not our gut reaction. Pray to God and ask him for guidance about how you should feel in these cases. That's what they did here. And Yahweh spoke, saying, bring out of the camp him who cursed. Let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Let all the congregation stone him. And you shall tell the children of Israel, whoever curses his God, that is, even if he's half Egyptian, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. He who blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The foreigner, as well as the native born, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Well, when you think of how people use God's name in vain so freely on the media, in life, you just long for the day when this shall be no more, because God's name is all about his love and his grace and his desire to save and his justice and rightness, and to just use it in this casual sort of way is, of course, awful. And let's bear that in mind, because those sort of phrases, we're hearing them all the time, and it very much can get into our own vocabulary and thinking under our breath if we're not careful. And again, why watch movies or listen to things or read novels where this kind of thing goes on? Just don't. Don't put those things continually in your mind. Despise and dislike that sort of behavior. Just as you read here as to what should happen to the man who blasphemed God's name. If anyone injures his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He who kills an animal shall make it good, and he who kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have one kind of law for the foreigner as well as the native born. So they brought out him who had cursed outside the camp and stoned him with stones. The children of Israel did as Yahweh commanded Moses. I think God, in his law, didn't give them like a ruling for every possible life situation on purpose, because he wanted them to think about it and to have the humility to recognize we don't know exactly what to do, we don't exactly know how we should judge this, and to come to him. And he answered them. And it's the same today. We have God's principles in the Bible, but life is, of course, as it is, and those principles don't specifically speak in specific terms about you should not do this or you should not do that. And that is intentional, so that we might think how to apply those principles and humbly ask God for wisdom and guidance, and then, as you see here, actually do what he gives us by way of an answer.